Being content does not come from your circumstances, not in your church, not in your country, not in your job, not in your marriage, not in your family, not in your school, not in your looks, not in your wealth. It doesn't come from your circumstances. The secret of contentment comes from within.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Don, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about being content, that is, being satisfied with whatever situation we are in. Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Don explaining how God's word tells us the secret to contentment. Thanks for listening.
The people he has created as the crown of his creation, as the image of God, as even redeemed children of God, would be happy and content in all circumstances. I said it was near and dear to his heart. Let me just remind you of a couple things. The children of Israel in the Old Testament complained about Egypt. They didn't like it that they were stuck there as slaves. God heard their prayer and sent Moses, brought them out into the wilderness. It was a long and hard trip. And they complained and said, "We want to go back to Egypt." And God was very upset that they were not content with manna that he put out there miraculously every morning. So he sent quail into the camp, and they reveled in grabbing all the quail they could and cooking them over the fire. And then what happened? The quail had worms in them, and many people died. That's how serious God is about contentment. You heard about Ahab and how discontent he got over a little vineyard, and you heard in the summary what God did when Ahab killed Naboth to get it. God killed Ahab and Jezebel in a very humiliating way because God is serious about contentment. When God came to David through Nathan the prophet, and Nathan and David had sinned by taking Bathsheba from Uriah and having Uriah killed, this is what God said: "I gave you many wives, and I would have given you more had you asked." That blows your mind. And he said, "But you had to go take this one man's wife," because David was discontent with the blessing God gave him. God was upset. It was very near and dear to his heart. God wants you to be content, and it drives him crazy when you are not. You say, "Well, I don't really have that big of a trouble with contentment." Well, let's just ask a couple questions. You've gotten a flyer, or you've got on your phone some kind of advertisement that one of your favorite stores has a sale on something, so you run down there. And just as you're going down the aisle, you see the last one there, and someone rounds the other end of the aisle, reaches in, and picks it up. Oh. So you go find the clerk, and you ask them about it, and they said, "Nope, once they're out, they're all gone." Now you're really discontent. You go to the next store, you're driving in the parking lot, you see that parking spot, even though you exercise for an hour each day to try to be fit, you see that parking spot closest to the door, but it's all the way around a long line of cars, so you whip around and go too fast, and somebody whips in right in front of you, and now you are discontent. You're standing in the grocery store line, and you've got 10 items, and you're going through Express when it says 15 or less, and there's three people in front of you that all have a lot of items, so you count every one of them because you are discontented, right? If you're someone who loves everything well-ordered, and you have to have things arranged for you, and you are always making your world neat and tidy so that you feel well ordered, and you married a free spirit, which at first was very neat and attractive to you, but free spirits like everything disheveled because that makes life more spontaneous and exciting. Now in marriage, you are discontented. Your friends at school in college, you're a freshman, and they say, "Let's go to spring break down to the beach somewhere in Texas or Florida," and you get really excited. It seems like heaven on earth for a week is about to happen, and you call home and talk to your parents, and they go, "No way, no how. I know what happens on those beaches. You're not going there." And now you are discontent with your parents. You've had a trouble with discontentment since you stood up in the crib the first time and shook it for instant gratification from your parents. You're just better at hiding it as an adult. Solomon, who was one of the most wealthy, right, man of his time, he was the wealthiest man in the world. He wrote Ecclesiastes, and he said, I have discovered that most progress in people's lives in their work is because of the envy they have of their neighbor. They want to work hard to make more, to buy a better car, a better house, more stuff. We all need this help. And God, it's near and dear to his heart. He wants us to get help because we cannot really enjoy life the way he invented it to be enjoyed and enjoy him. And he cannot enjoy us any more than a parent enjoys a little kid that's crying selfishly. He can't enjoy us if we're not content. And so he teaches us in his word. And he's going to teach us today through Paul, the apostle, next to Jesus, most famous guy in the New Testament, right? And Peter, Paul the Apostle, in a letter that he wrote to the Philippians, a church up in Philippi, which was a city in a region called Macedonia. And in that city, he had come there and started a church by telling them about Jesus down by the river. And he had a very special relationship with all his churches, but this one, that was, it was more reciprocal. Paul went on more journeys to take care of and start other churches and take care of them. And God put him through a very difficult circumstance. He got arrested down in Jerusalem. And then if you know anything at all about the story, I'll tell you real briefly. He got arrested and there was a death threat. They were trying to kill him without a trial. And he appealed to Caesar in Rome. Rome's a long ways from Jerusalem. And then it's all in the book of Acts in the Bible. And then he went on a harrowing journey as a prisoner and he suffered shipwreck. He got bit by a snake that was poisonous. And he ends up in under house arrest. And he's there chained to a Roman guard so he won't run under house arrest. That was the ankle bracelet of their day. Just chain him to a human being, a guard. But he had to rent and pay for his own rental room in a house somewhere. And Paul is there in Rome waiting trial, and it was painfully slow. And he could have been put to death at the end of the trial. He did not know what was going to happen. And he wrote letters, and we have four of them, and one of them is Philippians, so that's where he is. This guy, Paul, has dedicated his life to serving God better and more than any of us in this room, including us pastors. He has given it all up for Jesus, and it's been very difficult the whole time. Stonings and death threats and snake bites and shipwrecks and all that kind of stuff. And now he's in jail. 16 times in the letter, he talks about joy from a contented heart. And you know why he wrote them a letter at all? It's in this little paragraph that we have, it's 10, verses 10 through 13. The Philippians in Macedonia, quite a ways from Rome, they had found out Paul was there. It was on Facebook. And you got it. So they sent money in the hand of one of their members. They sent money. He got on a ship. He went to Rome. And he gave Paul their love and their encouragement and gave him a bag of money. And he said, now pay your rent here. We are with you as you're in prison waiting trial because we love you. You are a great teacher and leader and pastor. And they gave him money. And he sent a letter back, this letter, Philippians, to say thank you and to give them some spiritual insight. And that's how it got into the Bible. It's a thank you note, pretty long one. But the section about his thanks is speaking about contentment, which is very interesting. So let's read it, okay? I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me by sending that gift. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it all this time. I am not saying this, that you at last showed your concern for me by giving a gift. I am not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every such situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Did you notice that what he's trying to say to them is, I'm really excited about your gift, but it's not because I was sitting around moping and then the gift came and I went, yippee, relief from the Philippians. He's trying to teach them that he had a contentment that didn't make him dependent upon the gifts of others. He didn't depend on a small or a large candy bar from the Philippians or God or anyone else that he had learned a secret from about contentment, and he's sharing it with us. And he says, I've learned a secret is to live free from that. And here's a big point. Because it doesn't, being content does not come from your circumstances. Not in your church, not in your country, not in your job, not in your marriage, not in your family, not in your school, not in your looks, not in your wealth. It doesn't come from your circumstances. The secret of contentment comes from within. Wait a minute. When we look inside, though, that's where the problem is. I'm empty and I'm not content. Yeah, I didn't say it starts within, but the secret from contentment comes not from your circumstances, but inside. But God has to put it there. You can't. Because without God, you are a fake God, and you are a finite person that's going to die in this world. You're just as temporal as the stuff you possess, and your body is. Your soul is eternal, but your body is just as temporal, and so you can't make contentment come up in your life. It has to come from outside, but it can't come from your circumstances. It has to come from heaven. And so we say in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, give me this day my daily bread. Take care of me. See, contentment starts for a Christian. When God reveals to you, I don't mean he just says it on a poster, but when he reveals it in your heart and he gets your attention and he opens your heart's eyes to the fact that you are not your own idea. You didn't invent yourself. Long before you had dreams and aspirations, ambitions and plans for your life and identity crisis and worried about what you're going to be or become or where you fit in with everybody else, long before all that, you were his idea. He's not your idea. And you're not your idea. And he loves the idea that he had when he decided to make you. And you've damned yourself by thinking it was all about you. You've cut yourself off, worthy of eating quail with worms or being struck dead and licked up, the blood of your wounds licked up like Ahab's and Jezebel's were by the dogs as they died in the streets. You damned yourself. And he reveals that to you. And you go, you're right, God. I've been the sniveling, complaining, even off and on up to the present. And then he reveals to you at the same time, I still love you, you little booger. I love you to death. You're my idea. And he put his son on the cross for you, and he took all the blame for your being discontent. The most contented man in the world, perfect and holy before God, never discontent at all, didn't have to learn the secret. He was the secret to contentment, gave it all up for you. And you learn that in your heart, and you feel so thankful. You feel so loved and forgiven. And it's all about God and you, and has nothing to do with where you live, what you drive, the clothes you wear, the husband or wife, your family you have, or your jobs, country, anything. It has to do with you and God. And you feel settled and loved and content. And you realize that you're on a journey with God. He's not on a journey with you. You're on a journey with God. And so on the journey, he takes things away. He gives things there. He takes things away. He blesses some of your plans and dreams. He blesses some of your work. Some of it's very frustrating and it doesn't work. He's with you the whole way. And you realize, I'm on a journey with God who loved me and saved me. And you say with Paul in the last verse of our paragraph, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many have heard that passage before today? Right. I would bet that when you heard it and when you said it about overcoming some habit or temptation. The first time I remember it becoming popular in my mind and heart was way back when I was like a teenager and somebody at my church was trying to quit smoking. And he said, this is my go-to verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The verse can be used that way, but the context is about contentment. I can be poor, I can be rich. I can be little candy bar, big candy bar. I can be never get a raise, I can get a raise. I can be important and popular, I can be hated and despised, because Christ gives me strength. The message, the revelation of Christ gives me strength. I'm His and He is mine. Isn't that great? Remember that. That's the first step. Remember that what you have in Christ is everything. But also want what you have. Don't just remember what you have. See, contentment is not getting what you want. It's wanting what you have. And all the blessings that make that either tempt us to be contented in them or discontent before God because we don't have them the way we want them, all of those are from the hand of Him who died for you, made you and died for you, loves you and has a plan for your life. So if He decides to give you something, that's what you have. If He decides not to give you something, that's also what you have. He's teaching you a lesson, and it's always going to be good. Did you know that's what Romans 8:28 is about also? It's about contentment. Learning that God is dealing with you as a son. Romans 8:28 is another famous passage. We know that in all things, good or bad, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. But what's the next verse? That's the verse everybody forgets. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, who was this owning nothing, selfless, full of love, self-sacrificing human being that served God and others 100%. He is conforming you to the image of His Son, and the whole chapter is about suffering in Romans 8. So the good that He's working is giving you something, even when it looks like He's taking something away, because He's giving you the nature of Christ. He's giving you an opportunity to learn true spiritual reality in serving God and others when there's no payment. Contentment comes from wanting that, wanting what you have from God, not getting what you want before Him. So remember and want. And you know, it's so hard because you have three diseases that affect you, and I do too. The devil, the world, and our flesh. The devil puts thoughts in your heads all the time and tempts you with them. The world, it says in the Bible that they're under the sway of the devil, even down to, it can be even Christians out working, doing their job, making advertisements. I heard one today on the way to church, and since I was all about contentment today, I just smiled and said, I got to share this one. I'm driving in. This is what it said. The holidays are in the rearview mirror. You spent the whole holidays making sure everybody else had what they deserved. Now it's your turn to get what you deserve. Come out to our dealership and buy our cars. And you get hit with that stuff all the time. And your own flesh. You don't even need a devil or the world for it to dawn on you sometimes. Hey, man, I'm getting slighted here. I think, you know, I put in my time. I need a little more going on for me. What about me? You can make that stuff up yourself. It's three diseases. It's so hard to remember and want what you have. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. Paul tells us and teaches us, and it leads us back to Christ. But I would like to take now what I'm telling you and supercharge it. Now, this is the bam of contentment. This is what takes it up a notch, where you'll be more content than most people you know if you understand this secret to contentment. Remembering and wanting, we have already got. The next one is using what you have to bless others. There's a really neat verse in the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts about Jesus. This is the neat thing. This is only something that pastors care about. This little neat thing. If you want to find the words of Christ, what books of the Bible would you look in? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, right? And if you have a red letter edition, which I love, it'll just sort of open the page and red is the words of Jesus, right? Well, if you look in Acts, which was not written by Paul, but Paul is in, he's walking around living his life and Luke is writing about it, he meets with these elders at Miletus, a little island, because he's going to never see him again. He wants to encourage him. And this is what he says. The Lord Jesus told us, And then if you've got a red letter edition Bible, it's in red letters. So Paul's quoting Jesus, not even a letter that Paul wrote. So Luke's writing about Paul talking about Jesus, but the passage never appears in the four Gospels. So it's one of those rare gems that's words of Jesus that never made it into the four Gospels. And this is what it says. It's about contentment. Paul says, remember what the Lord Jesus told us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the word blessed sounds so churchy to us in English. So it's like, oh yeah, it's more holy to give than to receive. Yeah. Give me the big candy bar. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying it's more fun, it's more cool, it's more of a happy life, it's more contentment, it's more peace. That's the word blessed in the English language, but as well as the original. It means it's the happy life, it's the contented life. Once you get the secret that in every circumstance, no one can stop you from serving others and the joy of having an impact. If it's a smile, a word, didn't cost you a dime, right? So if you can't say, well, I wish I had more money so I could start being generous. I almost said a bad word. That is BS. That's a lie that you're believing. You are free. You are free to serve and love because you have Christ and everything that he gives you. To give you the strength in all circumstances, to be content. But if you want to kick it up a notch, you go, bam! You take wherever you are in the worst day of your life and do something wonderful and beautiful for somebody else while your car is broke, while the dishwasher doesn't work, and somebody just told you something really bad that they're having to deal with. You see what I'm saying? That's the secret to contentment. The guy's in jail, and he's writing a letter about joy. It wasn't just Jesus that could do that stuff. It's sinners that can because Jesus is in their life and their heart. With his grace and his power and his love. You see what I'm saying? It's the secret to being content. Before you walk out that door, without any circumstance changing in your finances, your health, or anything else, the attitude in your heart can change if you say in your heart to God, amen, you're right, thank you for the chiropractic adjustment, I needed that, and now I feel a lot better because now I've been reminded of what I have with you. You don't need to be discontent. You say, and also, you put to death your expectations and your ambitions. You put them to death because most of the time, they're not going to be the way it ends up exactly anyway. And I used to, when I was a younger man and I was giving positive mental attitude speeches like 18, 19 years old through the Future Farmers, I was always talking about all that the set your goals and set them high and do all that stuff. And they're not realistic. Yes, you set goals, but separate from your contentment. James said, you say if the Lord wills on that day, I will go do this or that. You don't say, I'm going to set my goals and it's all up to me and I can do anything I want. Right? If you just put your mind to it. Put to death your ambitions that are based on you. Put to death your goals. Put to death your expectations of other people and learn the life of love. Then you can work hard, set goals, and do things, but separate your contentment from it. You can be content if you get into that program at that nursing school or not. And you can fill it out. The rest of you that are looking for work. Why am I at this moment being so passionate about this? Because God is passionate about it. Remember what I said? He cannot enjoy you and you enjoy him if you do not get that grace is all around your life through the Lord Jesus Christ and that all circumstances have no power over your heart as long as you know Jesus. But the only thing that really gives us the power to be content is to be loved and forgiven and in the presence of our Savior. And then with joy and peace and not thinking we're trying to measure up just to be able to hurdle the bar, we can practice contentment. And we won't get discontent when we fail because immediately we feel Jesus' loving hand around us, forgiving us, picking us up and say, it's worth doing it again because you're already washed clean. God wants us to be content. Contentment is not a destination. It's an attitude created by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God in heaven, help us to live a contented life, because we are so prone to this. We're sinners. We're saved, we're forgiven, we're loved, but man, is this a hard one. Help us to live in that contentment. Come by your Holy Spirit and remind us. Help us to smile this week when something goes on that makes us discontent, and remember the word that you taught us. We commit that prayer to you for Jesus' sake and for your glory. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.